But I'm going to read you something that Lottie wrote. I'm going to tell you, though, every one of those hymns we just sang, do you know they were written during her time, too? She more than likely sang them in the mission field, as I am told. So I'm going to read you something that she said. Is not the festive season where family and friends exchange gifts in memory of the gift laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the hungry? Not it is an appropriate time to consecrate a portion from the abounding rich and scant poverty to send forth the good tidings of the greatest joy of all the on all the earth. Well, she has many sayings, but hers was pray, give, and go. And this is what we're asked to do too. So we have had among us, we've been so blessed in this congregation, having so many missionaries that have
Amen.
gone ye there forth to spread the gospel unto all the earth. We've had international missionaries, whom we cannot mention their name because they're in the field right now. We've had some that have gone on short trips, some that have gone and spent their life in the mission field, like Lottie Moon spent almost 40 years in the mission field, died December 24th on a ship coming back to America because she was so weak and dying. Well, just the fact that one is gone and many is gone, they've told us now there's 3,500 that International Missions Board has sent into the field. There's 500 being prepared to go to join them. And that's all due to our giving around. We work together with all the Southern Baptist churches. 100% of our giving goes into the mission field to support the missionaries and to support their work and support all the needs in the mission field that is needed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the living hope of our faith. And so I just ask that you join me in a prayer, and I'm going to pray for the missionaries. I'm going to pray for their family who are left behind and the families that join them. We're going to pray for the work that is being done. We're going to pray for the hearts that are being prepared to receive the greatest gift of all. And so join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God of heaven, thank you. Thank you for the joy that you have brought into the world. Certainly, it is joy to the world. And you have given us the honor to be able to share and going there forth via prayer, via feet to go, via hearts to go, and via giving through what we are able to give, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up all the missionaries. We ask that you prepare their bodies, their health, their spirit to go into the mission fields, Father God, and share the gospel. Father, we ask that you be with their families that join them and their families that are here attending to other needs and praying for their loved ones. We pray for their safety, Father God. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be upon them, that the words be effective and understood well, the gift that they are about to receive. We pray for many souls to come to you as Lord and Savior and out in that mission field, Father God. Thank you for sending missionaries. Thank you for overseeing the entire program, the process, and all that's going to be done. And that may many come to know you as Lord and Savior in this lifetime. In Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wayne. I want to add one thing to it. When Evie and I were at the Alaska Baptist Convention this year, I met, I don't know, Evie, if you met Sven or not. Okay. Well, I met Sven, and that's not his real name any more than a couple other people that we know. But we got to talking, and he uses the same encrypted server that I use for a lot of things. And he reached out this morning, and I wanted to share this tidbit with you as I bring it open to put my glasses back on. He had met a person in the particular village, Pacific Rim, that he's in, and he said that please pray for the Spirit to give a clear message here from us, especially since this village speaks Maranatha, while almost all of my language study has been in a different language, and I'm just saying it that way. He said that an elder in the village came to him and said that this is the first time in their village history that there's ever been a person proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And you sometimes, in the world in which we live in, where you got a smartphone in your pocket and a tablet and a smart TV and your car talks back to you, but there's still places in the world that have not heard the name of Jesus before. So you've got the privilege today to pray as we did for Lottie Moon and all the missionaries that are out there, but one by the name that we know is Sven, and if you'd remember him, in an unnamed village. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Father, I want to thank you for yesterday. I want to thank you for today, and I want to thank you for the days to come. God, I ask you to set our hearts upon you and our heads upon you. Help us to walk in a way that honors you and keeps us useful to your kingdom, God, in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody, besides the very many that I've spoken to, remember that there was an earthquake yesterday? And last time I counted, this morning, there's been over 20 aftershocks. There were over 13 aftershocks last night. Was anybody really excited about being in an earthquake? I didn't think so. And there's an old Johnny Cash song that came to mind, says, based on where we live, I fell into a burning ring of fire. Well, here we are in the ring of fire. I think you need to remember that the shaking of an earthquake is just physical. And no matter what in this world comes, it's a passing thing. It's a passing thing. But I will tell you that there is a greater shaking coming, and it's going to be in the church. It's going to be who's the real bride of Christ left standing. And it's not because of our, well, it is because of some decisions we make, but there is a shaking coming. And I would encourage you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and don't go back to your yoke of bondage. I think as a child, I've always had dogs. I love dogs. Occasional cat, I'm allergic, but dogs. And one of the grossest things that dogs do is return to their own vomit. And please, when you repent of something, don't go back to your vomit. It's a simple thing. And why they do it, I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, we're going to share a few things today. It's going to shock you. This is the season where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And we use the word Advent, and usually we do the four Sundays leading up, but I didn't have that set up. So this is for last week that we're firing up here. And this one is for this week. And the Advent moment is going to be me talking about Advent. And if you look it up, you can look it up and it'll give you multiple definitions, but really there's an event of great importance that took place. Great importance. Sometimes they could say, oh, well, the computer age. Yeah, okay. But this Advent is about the coming of and the fulfilling of prophecy, where it had been really silent for about 400 years. So we're going to talk a little bit about today, a little bit about the coming of the one who was sent to prepare the way and the one who sent, the advent of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, shockingly, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 1. And just as an introduction for the sake of Luke, in verse 1 it says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They have used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I have also decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. And before I read on, I got to talk to you about pronunciations. I just love the struggle we have. And Ron bailed me out this morning. I didn't know that Aaron had other plans today, so I had Aaron on the menu, on the bulletin, and I so blind gave Ron the name of God for today. And what I said to him was, brother, you're as equipped as anyone else to pronounce this correctly. So don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. And I'm going to go back to a time where I was in a room and there were two rabbis, and they were talking to us, Americans, most of which were Christians, about Hebrew. And they said, "We preserved Hebrew as a language through all the years after the destruction of our home place, the place that we're given by God." And he said, "But we preserved it." And one of them was talking, and I'm going to use a name that was not his because I can't remember his name. And he said there, and he's explaining, he said, like, this word, the pronunciation is thus and such. And he says what the pronunciation was. And the rabbi next to him goes, "Oh, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, that's not quite right." And we had this great discussion between two learned rabbis on the pronunciation of a word that they were instrumental in preserving for years on end. If they can't get the right one between us, don't sweat it when you're the one up here and you're reading Hebrew, because we think that we've got it right. I looked up a word the other day through all the normal resources that are available to us. And when I pulled it first up, they gave me three separate pronunciations. And I'm okay with all three of them or the other 12 that we'll come up with on our own. The intent of our heart will overcome our lack of perfect knowledge. Okay, so moving along with that, I think I've got most of this one down. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and his regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Average lifespan at that time, I'm told, is 35 years, though many people lasted into their 60s and 70s. So I've heard it proffered that this means that Elizabeth was like 40 years old, and other times all the way up to Elizabeth was 70 plus years old. Well, I'm going that she was unable to bear children, and she was older than the normal age of people that were bearing children. I can remember that when we got married, we were both 32. And so, Josiah, you were 35 when Josiah was born? Oh, okay. And then almost 3 years later, John came along. So, Evie was pushing the threshold, pushing the threshold. But it's okay, it's all right. So, anyway, but she was old and she knew that she had never bore a child and had not really had hope that that was going to happen. But one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah, and for our purposes today, Advent number one, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." First thing, he had no issue with recognizing that this was an angel in whose presence he was standing. Do you think you'd know? Don't have to answer the question. I don't know. I don't know. I won't say that I've never been in the presence of an angel before, and I won't say that I haven't been. I may not know. And certainly it's not pertinent whether I have or not, or whether you have or not. But Zechariah immediately knew that this was an angel, and he was petrified. And the angel said that phrase that so often he comes up with, which is, "Don't be afraid, fear not, fret not. It's okay. It's all right." Then he said, "God has heard your prayer." Now, if an angel said that to me, my next question is, which one? I don't even remember what I prayed half the time. "Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many, if the power goes out, fret not. We'll be okay. I can do this story blindfolded." Amen. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years." There's times to question a lot of things, and there's ways to question things. This was not the right way to question this. And the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God." This is a huge statement, because most of the time when you see verbal pictures of what's to come in heaven and what's going to be upon the return, it's usually on your knees, face down, on your knees, face down. And when he says, "I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the very presence of God," which means one, God allows it, and two, God calls him to do it. Because his job is to fulfill the express will of God appointed unto him. "It was he who sent me to bring you this good news, but now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." And then you know what? He couldn't speak. And I look at things and I try to, try to think back. I think Ron shared this in a Sunday school class this morning. We have a friend, Michael, and he's accused Ron, and through that, this church, of being blessing hogs. It's like every time he turns around, Michael turns around, Ron's telling him something where God's fulfilled prayer, and he's done this, and he's blessed us in this and in this. And Michael didn't mean anything bad by it, but I like being a blessing hog. I like that. And if there's a message today, it's pay attention to when God speaks to you. Pay attention. Pay attention. I can tell you that years ago, before I ever met Evie, I walked out of the furnace room door downstairs. And as I walked out before you go up the stairs, which were different then, and there was no covered area, but in that little 6 feet, 7 feet, 8 feet area, God spoke to my heart. And what he said is "Your firstborn will be a son, and you're to name him Josiah." And I knew God spoke to my heart. I knew God spoke to my heart. I had no intention of being married. I didn't have a wife, and my wife certainly was not pregnant. But I will tell you that I have a wife. An arranged marriage, I believe, by God's appointed time. And that we have, our firstborn was a son, and most of you have met him, and his name's Josiah. Evie got pregnant the second time. And I said, we were talking, and I said, "So, what do you think about naming him Elijah?" And she said, "No, his name is John." And I'm in my puffy mode, and I'm doing this routine. And I'm going, surely God, if God could tell me Josiah, he can tell me Elijah. And we'll get to the fulfillment of that in just a little bit. But I did stop and had a sense enough to pray and say, "God, what do you want?" And God just gave me a scripture reference. And I just read it to you. And I went, I like to talk. So it was my turn to repent and agree with God. His name's John. By the way, the same spirit that was on John the Baptist was the same that was on Elijah. I'm just justifying there for you. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gesture and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. People's response was that he saw a vision. I would that we would always have a response that's spiritually sound. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Go figure. And went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. Okay, that was in, she'd been in seclusion for 5 months. Okay, in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Well, that's a pretty good pronouncement. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." You recognize that's a prophecy. And I'm going to flip back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child is born unto us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor," or Wonderful Counselor, "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. For all eternity, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." Okay, she's saying, "Look, I'm a virgin. So how does this work?" Not, "I don't believe." It was, "How does it work?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but that she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Verse 37 again, "For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Here is young teen Mary, most likely. And she's listened to this whole thing, and she's more than engaged, but less than married. And she's a virgin. And the angel Gabriel has just shared with her. And it's not like she sees Gabriel every day. You know, she's not going down to the well. "Oh, there's Gabriel." But Gabriel has said all these things to her, and her response is, "What you have said, let it be unto me." You know, when we sing a song like, "Wherever he leads, I'll go," it's easy to sing, and it's harder to do. Because are you really committed to whatever God says, you're good to go? You know, I think of Anna, Christina, Gabriel, Sven. At some point in their life, God said, and they said, "Yes, Lord," and did it. How many times when God speaks, are you going, "Yes, Lord," and get up and do it? That's what Gabriel was pronouncing to Mary, and that was Mary's response. "Whatever you've said, let it be unto me. I choose to follow God. I choose to follow God." A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greetings, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." First of all, I don't know how many, there's a number of ladies in this room that have carried children from conception through birth and on. Some of you in this room are those children. I'll tell you, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. But that a baby in your womb recognizes the presence of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, in the womb of another woman. And that Elizabeth, who had no idea, this is just a few days after Mary's pregnant. It's not that she was showing. And you know, there's cues. I'm going to tell you, every time we're around friends of ours that are, or family that are young in the childbearing years, you're always looking. Do they have the signs that they're pregnant? You know, we're always looking for that. But it's not like that you can tell on a few days after conception that a woman's necessarily pregnant. But Elizabeth recognized that Mary was, and that teeny, tiny, few-day-old embryo named Jesus was the Lord and Savior of the world. God's moving. And when Elizabeth said it in verse 45, "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." This is the key to this whole thing. You know, I talk a lot about really believing God, and to believe God means you act on what he tells you to do. And what Elizabeth said, it's not only that God made a pronouncement, but you believe that he would fulfill what he said. It's a rhetorical question, so you don't throw your hands up in the air and tell me what they are right now. But how many times do you know that God spoke and spoke to you about something, and your response to that is to believe not only that God spoke to you, but that he will fulfill everything that he said? Sometimes I go, yes, and then I go, oh. And sometimes you walk in it. Sometimes it happens, but not in your time frame, but in the time frame that God says. You know, I think of the times that Jesus said, you know, basically, okay, I'm Messiah. I didn't come to set you free of your physical debt. Well, what did you come for? I came to set you free from the sin that weighs you down. This is what I came for. Well, what about this? It says this. Yeah, that'll happen later. This is for right now. Or how many times have you tried to grab a scripture and apply it to you without God applying it to you? You know, I can tell you in the Great Commission that we're supposed to go forth into this world and make disciples of all people, of all nations. And we're supposed to, like we're going to do in a little bit, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, our Lord Jesus. And people go, well, that just applied. Well, I can logic through that one. Okay, if the apostle guy leads Martha to the Lord, and he disciples her, and she comes to that point where she wants to be baptized, and he baptizes her, well, then she's now one of the people who's supposed to go throughout the world and make disciples of all people. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy from God, an order from God, but a prophecy too. And so our job is simple. We just keep going. I don't have to pray. Does the Great Commission apply to me? Great Commission applies to me. Do I have to question whether or not I should share my faith in Jesus Christ with other people? Nope, don't have to question that at all. It's one of the things I do. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, Joshua's a little concerned, and the Lord said, "Okay, Joshua, fear not. In fact, where all of your footsteps go, that land is land that I've set aside for you." That doesn't apply to you unless God gives you that as a word for a specific thing. In this case, God sent an angel, Gabriel, who spoke to Zechariah. Angel Gabriel then went to Nazareth, spoke to Mary. Different responses. End result was God's will was done, by the way. But at the end of that, when Elizabeth says, "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said," how is that different from Abraham? It was accounted unto him as righteousness because when God said, Abraham did. Do I love everything about Abraham's life? No. And in fact, if it was you, I'd have to say something to you about it. Well, what about Lot? Well, let's talk about his wife. Well, let's talk about his daughters. You know, I'm just telling you, there's things out there, but yet, believing God and believing that he will do what he said, that's that process of it being accounted unto you as righteousness. So your job is to not pick and choose what scripture you like. Your job is when God speaks, you believe and follow through with it. You believe and obey. You believe and walk. You know, like a week from this coming Tuesday, we're going to go downtown in Bar Hop. And I love saying that in church. It just feels good in my heart. When Ron and I went down there, I said, you know, I told him I was going to do this. First thing we do is we walk in and walk up to the bartender. A couple of them said, "You want something?" But usually what I do is go, "This is going to be the strangest thing you've heard today. Hi, I'm Greg White. This is my friend Ron, and I'm the pastor at First Baptist Church." And I remember that one bartender looked and said, "Well, I guess you're not going to have a drink then." Like, "Well, that's true." And I said, "But what we'd like to do is be a blessing to you all. We'd like to come and Christmas carol. It'll be like three or four Christmas carols. We'll end with 'We wish you a Merry Christmas,' and then leave." And one of them said, "Why?" And I said, "Because we want to just bless you with the love that God showered upon us this Christmas season, which is Jesus." I said, "We're not going to preach, but we are just called singing. It's kind of called singing. There's not going to be any Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer here. There's going to be some 'O Come All Ye Faithfuls' and 'Silent Night' and things like that." And what I'd ask from you is that you pray, and if God wants you to be part of it, make arrangements and make it so. And if he doesn't, then by all means, don't be there. But if he does, believe what God says to you and act on it. And you act on it by truly believing, which means to follow through and do. And the same thing applies when we do, Lisa, what do we call that? Progressive dinner? Yeah, if God says, "Boy, participate in that thing," then you should do it. And when's that coming up, Lisa? 31st. Woohoo. And there'll be more coming from it on that. But this isn't complex stuff. Folks, we can spend, and we have spent a couple thousand years trying to make Christianity as complicated as we possibly can. And it simply comes down to knowing who is Jesus and what does that mean to me? And that when God speaks to my heart, I have an obligation to believe and follow through. That's that Bill Stafford thing, believe and receive or doubt and do without. And so many times you want to doubt and do without. And sometimes you do Greg White stupid. Greg White stupid is this like running for sheriff thing, coming up on my fourth race and getting to pray and going, "Oh, God, do you want me to run?" Because I was really kind of getting burned out. "You want me to run?" And he goes, yes. And I go, well, Lord, am I going to win? And he says, no one's going to run against you. And I went, yes, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And then I planned fundraisers. Why am I planning fundraisers? Did I really believe? Or was I just hedging my bets? What do you call that? It's called non-belief or unbelief. And then remember, I've told you this on the day that was the last day to file for office at 5 o'clock when you couldn't file anymore. I called Marvin Register, the county clerk, and Marvin phone recognized my phone. He says, Greg, it's okay. Nobody filed against you. And I said, yes. And God said, so you're going to repent now? I had to repent of my unbelief, but I did have to repent of my unbelief. I said, praise the Lord, but I acted contrary to it. I sinned. I would ask that you do better than I did with that, that you do better. Seek God and do what he says. It's really simple. By the way, the reward phase of that is, and he'll count it unto you as righteousness. But you don't get to make up what God says. And you go, well, how do I know it's God? Oh, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus said, if you're my sheep, you hear my voice and you follow me. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I command. Well, that's hard. Really? Really? Evie? Do you remember? Well, her eyes were open. Do you remember when I proposed to you? Yes. Okay. Good.
She asked. Oh, you straight away.
Well, I asked her not to. I asked her not. I said I we want to talk, we need to talk first. You said you're asking me now, and I go I am, but don't answer, because I want you to count the cost. And we talked quite a while over a couple different locations. But that night she did say yes. She did this, and I said, what's that mean? She goes, it means. I go, no. What's it mean? She goes, well, yeah, you know. And I go, no, it's like salvation. You got to believe in your heart, but confess out your mouth. And then she said, yes, I'll marry you. So when the Lord speaks to you, so much more important than when one of us speaks to you. What's he saying? And what is required of thee? What's required of you? Hey, Aaron, Soren, why don't you all come in here and come up front real quick. You know, we've got a couple guys that came to Christ and haven't been baptized yet, and it's time for that. JK did his job and spoke with them, and they told him that they wanted to be baptized. I checked this morning also, and I would tell you that if I get down to mine, oops. Business card in here. There we go. You know, I mentioned the Great Commission earlier, and it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because he's been given all authority in heaven and on earth, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This baptism thing, it doesn't save you. This baptism thing is not a sacrament. We don't do sacraments. This baptism thing is a public statement of your faith in Jesus Christ, that you will follow Jesus all the days of your life, and you will live with Jesus as Lord of your life, in charge. So when God speaks, you're affirming that you will obey. When God speaks, you will believe that God spoke and that you will follow it. It means another thing. It means it's a public acknowledgement that your heart, your spirit, is circumcised before God. It's not a circumcision of the flesh, it's a circumcision of the heart. And it's you dying to yourself so that Christ rules and lives in your heart. It's an easy and simple thing. Now, I'm going to ask them a couple questions each before they get wet. And Lisa, I already warned them, if you stick your elbows way up, you're going to go way deep. It's because we're going to immerse you in this water. And I want you to realize that since Soren is standing next to me and he's going to go first, when he goes underwater, he's identifying with the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And Soren and Aaron, when they come up out of the water, are identifying with the resurrection of our living Savior. So if I could have a couple men come up and pick up this pulpit and put it up against the wall. We're going to go change clothes while the worship team comes up and leads you in song.
All right, would you all please stand and sing with us our last song? Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent the salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Thank you. You may all now please be seated.
My brother Soren, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
significantly colder when you step out. Has there been a time that you've asked Jesus to come? And are you willing to follow Jesus? Brother Aaron, baptize your Father, the Son, and the Ghost. Ron Hightower, would you close us in prayer while some of us are getting a little drier? And before you leave, give these guys an appropriate hug of fellowship and welcome them in, but make way till they dry.
Heavenly Father, we bow before you, just acknowledge your great goodness and mercy. Thank you for this special time when we watch our brothers come into your kingdom. And we acknowledge, Lord, that this is your doing. We bless you and honor you. Thank you for all these things and the things that come. In Jesus' name, amen.